Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends. Hi, Joss.
Hello, Kristen.
How are you?
I am very well. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. This week, our episode is a little different.
Yeah, a little bit. I think it's timely.
It is timely.
Yeah.
It has been a tough week for a lot of people.
Yes.
And we live in complicated, distressing times.
Yes.
As Americans. So this week's episode is about being a good friend to yourself.
Yeah.
And I think it's really easy to be a bad friend to ourselves, to be crappy friends to ourselves.
Yes.
So, this week we talk about being a good friend to that face in the mirror.
Yeah.
As long as it's not the creepy kid from The Exorcist, which has always been my deepest fear while brushing my teeth, is that I'm going to see Linda Blair behind me.
With the pea soup and all the rest.
Yeah. So, we have 10 things for you guys and for ourselves to be a good friend to yourself, to take care of yourself. And this is something that I talk about a lot in Good Luck With That, about how to be kind to yourself, how to treat yourself as if you were your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what would I say to you, Joss, and what would you say to me, and can we be that good to each other? And to ourselves.
Right, right.
Because we are so good to each other.
Yep.
Can we turn that kind of kindness and compassion and make that time for ourselves?
Right. The buzzword is self-care here.
Yeah,
that's what people are calling it.
Self-care, right.
Self-care.
So number one on our list is acknowledge your qualities. I think that's so hard for us as women.
It's really hard.
To sit back and say, you know what's great about me?
Right.
But I also think it's really important, you know, this idea of affirmation sounds really dumb. You can make fun of it. Remember Stuart Smalley from SNL?
Yes.
You know, you're good enough, you're smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like you.
That's right.
But you know what? It works.
Mm-hmm.
It's been around for a long time because it works. So the idea of looking at yourself in the mirror and saying something nice about yourself, to say, like, you are a good and loyal friend. Or you have very pretty eyes. You have a nice laugh. Recently, I was in a situation where a friend decided she would do this, and I knew she would have a really hard time doing it. So I made up this list just off my cuff, and I off the cuff, and I thought I thought of like 25 things that I loved about her. And I gave her the list. I said, I know you're going to have a hard time thinking of things.
Yes.
So I thought of them for you.
Because I'm having a hard time thinking of things right now.
Yeah. Well, I'll help you. You have beautiful skin.
Thank you.
You're a wonderful friend.
Thank you.
You're always compassionate.
Thank you.
I love when you wear purple eyeshadow.
I haven't done that in forever. I'm so lazy. That's my issue. And I shouldn't say that. I just...
Right.
I like to sleep in as much as possible.
So say something nice about yourself.
I can drive a stick shift.
There you go. That's great, right? You can. And that's a dying art in these days.
My dog loves me.
Yes. Your dog loves you.
You're
always available to your friends.
Yes.
You're an amazing friend.
Thank you.
So... those kind of things are important to say to yourself.
Maybe get your friends to help, because you see how hard it was for me to do it.
Yes.
And it was easy for Kristen to come up with things about me.
Right.
And I can come up with many things about Kristen. So maybe get your friends to help and then take your lists and go home and practice.
I had a lovely email from my cousin the other day. He found a picture of me and McIrish, which I posted on Facebook, and we were newlyweds in the picture. And he said... I can hear your laugh in this picture, and it's one of the best laughs ever.
That's fabulous.
And it was such a nice thing to say. Like, you don't, it's not something I would say to myself. I have a lovely infectious laugh.
Right, right.
But my cousin thought so, and so just kind of like I took it
mm-hmm.
and let it sit for a minute.
Yes, like, absolutely.
This is what my cousin thinks. And he thinks that I haven't seen him in years.
Mm-hmm.
We're really just email buddies. But it was so nice to think he still remembered that. So it's good to kind of get from your friends. But it's also, I think, really important to do that work for yourself.
Yeah.
And to say, you know.
Even if it is tough.
Even if it is tough. Even if it is small. My yeah. dog loves me.
Yeah.
I have adorable ears.
Yeah.
You know. But it just sort yes. of getting into a habit of acknowledging that you have things about you that you can like and yeah. that other people like.
Yeah. And it sort of, I think, helps to counteract some of the mean things. People can be so mean to themselves.
Yeah.
So it's, you start your day saying something nice about yourself. And
right.
maybe you'll start being nicer to yourself and less mean.
Yeah.
Less mean.
So number two, what have we got?
Make time for the things you're good at. Like cooking or flower arranging or being a ninja.
Being a ninja.
Life hacking your closet. That's you. You're really good at that.
I was thinking of you.
No, you're really good at the organization. You can take the, you know, the crappy cabinet that has all the plastic shit in there.
Yeah.
And turn it into a work of art. Really make time. Schedule this. Don't shove it off for someone else. Unless they're bleeding heavily. Well, that's true.
Yes. Like if someone
yeah.
Says, hey, say you're, I don't know, you're going to do something you're good at. Like
yeah.
you're very artistic, Jess.
Yes. Thank you.
And so you're going to spend some time painting that old table
yeah.
that you've been meaning to do something with. And then someone calls and says, hey,
yeah,
you want to go to Home Goods?
Right. Which is
I don't
great.
Know which friend might say that? I don't know.
I love Home Goods.
Yeah. But to say like, oh, actually, I'm going to be painting
yeah.
my table this afternoon.
Yeah,
kind
yeah,
of
yeah.
Keep that. Because, okay, so some of the things that I'm good at,
mm-hmm.
there's not that many. I'm good at entertaining children,
mm-hmm.
baking.
It's true.
Arranging flowers.
You are very good at those right. three things. Yes.
So I'm good at cleaning.
Yeah. Oh, God, yes.
Right?
Yes.
I love to clean.
Yes.
So when I do make time to do those things, like at this time of year, all our dahlias are in bloom. And so I can go out and cut 100 flowers from
mm-hmm.
our flower beds and stick them in bottles. And I'm not really like a flower arranger per se. But I can stick flowers in a vase and make the house look more cheery.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put them in the bathrooms and my daughter's
mm-hmm.
bedroom. And it makes me feel good,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or I bake cookies or
mm-hmm.
banana bread.
Mm-hmm.
And my family goes wild. And to make the space to do something
mm-hmm.
where, like, it takes me really, like, about 10 to 15 minutes to whip up a batch of banana bread.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I have the recipe memorized.
Wow.
I just like take everything out, throw the ingredients in, turn the mixer on, put the stuff away, stick
wow.
it in the oven. It makes everyone so happy. It makes
yeah.
the house smell nice.
It does.
You
it's
know?
True.
You know, if you're artistic, if you paint, if you're an organizer, you know, whatever it is, it feels good to be good at something.
Yeah.
I agree. Number three is, oh, this is my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, learn the difference between self-care and self-numbing.
I know what self-numbing is.
So, I certainly know what self-numbing is, too.
It's
and
delicious.
And that's pretending to take time for yourself.
Right.
So, that's like, oh, I'm going to have 7 glasses of wine tonight.
Yes. Or I'm going to...
And then you wake up in a puddle of drool
yeah.
and find that you've called your ex 114 times.
No.
That's not self-care.
Right, right.
That's,
no,
that's
not. Or like binging on Netflix and also too much food
yeah.
and feeling like shit the next morning.
Right. So it feels good in the moment.
Yeah.
But, and listen, I'm a big fan of late night eating.
Yes.
Annie's macaroni and cheese.
Yes.
And Netflix. But if you do that every night
right.
for 6 hours,
you gotta
that's not a special
limit.
Self-care,
right.
self-indulgent time.
No.
That's a bad habit.
Yeah, that's numbing. That
yeah.
is. So you can brood, but put a time limit on it.
Right, right. So, you know, indulgent eating, indulgent drinking. You know, yes, absolutely eat an entire pint of Ben and Jerry's ice cream because you are American.
Yes.
That is our national duty.
Yes.
Don't do it every day.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And the night that you do it,
yeah.
enjoy it.
Yes.
Stop with the self-recrimination.
Don't feel guilty.
Just love just the coffee toffee crunch.
Yes, you're going to do it and love it.
Get that double cheeseburger, you know. But don't smother your feelings with the Netflix binge, the ice cream binge, the McDonald's binge. You know, treat yourself. Do those things that you enjoy. But don't go crazy. And that's true, like, with exercise, too. You know, like, don't run yourself ragged, literally, on the treadmill or the elliptical or, you know, running 15 miles when you should have only run two. Just, you know, don't go crazy. Treat yourself. Do the things you enjoy. But when it gets into that mindless activity, that's self-numbing. Number four.
Get the fuck off Twitter and Facebook. Hells yes.
Girl, yes. Lord. I know this is a favorite of yours, yes. Joss.
Because I've done it to a certain extent. Like, it's not on my phone.
Right.
Because I found myself sitting in front of TV staring at Facebook.
Oh.
What is that?
Yeah, you can't do both.
So I took all social media off my phone. So if you are direct messaging me on Twitter or on Facebook, I'm not going to get it till next day.
That's fine.
I'm sorry.
It's okay to wait 12 hours to get someone's message.
Yeah. So complaining about life or vague booking on Twitter, that's not self-care. It's needy. It's egotistical. And it's false, too.
Yeah.
Because the stuff you see on that Instagram page or that Facebook page is not true. None of it is really true. It's all artfully arranged to make it seem like it's so fabulous.
Right. That we talk about that fake social media life all the time.
Yeah.
You know, where everyone seems to have so much more fun than you.
Yeah.
But also that, like, that idea of lurking on Twitter to get reinforcements.
That's not true either.
That's not self-care.
No.
That's egotistical in a way, narcissistic.
It is. And it's, when they stop doing it, what are you going to do then?
Right.
You know?
I mean, I've had the experience where someone will say, like, I just wonder if it's all worth it. Tonight seems so long. And I'll get on and say, like, gosh, are you okay? You know, please don't hurt yourself. You matter. You belong in this world and that kind of thing. And then the next day, the person's just like,
oh my
bitch
God.
And moan as usual.
Oh my God. It's so manipulative. I really hate
it
that.
It is. That's a great word for it. You know, if you are, if you're in need of therapy, get a therapist. Actually, when I was on book tour in Dallas, I had a therapist who is a big fan of Crappy Friends.
Oh, nice.
She says to say hi.
Hi.
And she said, I so appreciate that you recommend therapy.
Oh, good.
And yes,
I'm
we
so
do.
I'm so pleased to hear that.
If you need a therapist, get yourself one. Don't rely on Twitter.
Right.
Twitter can be an angry place.
Yes.
It's a very shallow place.
Right.
Strangers saying, are you okay? Don't do anything harmful. Is not the same as you taking responsibility for your mental health.
Absolutely. Come on. There's no substitute for therapy. Emojis are not substitute
That's
for therapy.
Right.
Come on.
That's right. And listen, if you are really in a dark place and you're thinking about hurting yourself, call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, 1-800-273-8255. They also have live chats. So we're not taking your mental health lightly here. We're saying if you're using Facebook and Twitter as a way to get mental health, you need to find a better way.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's so, number five?
Number five is take time to nurture your spirituality.
Oh.
Church, meditation, a walk in the woods. I'm trying to do this right now. And take time to get out of the house. I'm trying to do that also. Sunshine is so good for you.
We live in the Northeast.
The vitamin D,
Girl, yes. I mean, remember my vitamin D got tested and it was a 6.
Yes, mine was an 8. but I have since increased it by working really hard at taking vitamin D. And I have an app on my phone that tells me when to go outside and get 10 minutes of sun.
Right.
When is the best time each day.
If you took 10 minutes a day to take a walk outside, regardless of the weather, I think life would improve a lot. And you know what? That's something that I have to do, too.
Yeah.
I know, like, when I'm outside walking,
yeah,
I love it.
Yeah.
I don't know why I don't do it more.
Absolutely. I agree. But it's just to get yourself out there.
Yeah. You know, yeah. But exercising, we know, is good for the soul.
Right.
But the spirituality thing, you know, I take yoga a couple of times a week, and I find that after a couple of years of doing this now, that hour belongs to me.
Yeah.
And I'm really able to kind of shut out the world, shut out the politics, the things I'm upset about, family drama, whatever it is, and just say, this is my hour. All those problems will be there when I'm out of class, but for now, I just get to think about nothing.
Right.
And kind of meditate on peaceful, happy, uplifting things.
Right.
And
so, yeah, I'm trying to do this too. It's
yeah,
a little difficult. I was thinking of going back to church.
We were talking about like the triggers of church in the good way.
Yeah,
like
that I love so much.
The smell of church.
Yeah, I'm Episcopalian, so we have two masses every day. And the high mass, you have a thurser, which is a person in robes, and they hold that. It's like a ball on a chain, and it's filled with frankincense and myrrh. And they
it's
fling
incense.
It. Yeah.
It's not actually frankincense.
They fling it. They fling it. They
I know I'm Catholic. Yeah. And everything you Episcopalians learned, you learned from us.
We are Catholic light. I will admit that. It is true.
All of the pageantry, none of the guilt.
Yes. That's exactly the case. I don't deny it. But I don't want to go to a high mass. I just want to go to the church and smell it.
Yeah.
And feel the sun coming through the stained glass windows.
And be quiet.
And be kind of still and quiet. And I love that idea. Yeah. So I could go to the early mass, which is much quieter, and probably hear something uplifting from our priest, which would be great.
Or sit quietly for an hour. Greater purpose,
yes.
Greater world than just your own little
and
issues.
And maybe like some gratitude and things like that.
I like that idea, you know, that spirituality is something that we neglect, and the idea that we can give it 10 minutes a day.
Yeah.
Whether it's meditation or reading your Bible, if that's the thing for you, or reading the Dalai Lama.
Yeah.
Or sitting in lotus position, or just taking a walk in the woods and smelling the nice fall leaves.
I mean, there's meditation apps.
Yep.
There's all kinds of good stuff out there to make it pretty easy for you to do this.
In fact, today, you know, is a stressful day for a lot of America.
Yeah.
And I just posted on Twitter a little breathing GIF.
Yeah.
You know, inhale for three, exhale, and watch this little leaf drift across your
screen. Perfect.
Just those little things can do so much.
Yep.
Number six on our self-care list is read.
Oh, God.
And that's something that, you know, as writers, we do less than we used to when we were just readers, you know? And I've found that, I mean, I read every day, but the other night, my princess sort of read-shamed me. I said, let's, you know, come downstairs and let's do something together, just the two of us in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, okay, but I don't want to watch TV. I want to read. And we've been watching The Great British Baking Show, which is fabulous. But I said, okay, do you have anything that I might like? And she brought me a book that she had really liked, and I started reading it, and I just remembered, like, reading is such a joy.
It is.
It activates a different part of your brain.
Absolutely.
You like to read books that aren't so good lately.
So I've been doing that because I've been having trouble writing. And so I took the last week of August off for my job, and I bought a bunch of really horrible books, and I read them and loved reading them because they, like, helped remind me that I can plot a book because these were so bad.
Yeah.
I could fix all these plot holes. I could fix what's wrong with these books. So it was helpful to me for doing that.
Yeah.
But I am reading other things, too, that I actually do like that I think are really good. And I, like you, had a hard time reading because we were always writing or reading someone else's work or
I read judging stuff, or, you know, and so I'm asked to read a lot of books for blurbs and that kind of thing. And so I go into them saying, I really hope I like this book.
Right.
It might be by someone I know.
Right.
But getting lost in a book is completely different.
And it's really, it doesn't have that same obligation as like judging something or so, I lost that ability somehow. Because before I started writing, I used to read books at a time. I had like piles of books on my bed.
Right.
All readers know about this. And then I started writing and the piles slowly diminished. And now I'm trying to get that back.
Yeah.
And I am. It's really great. Yeah. So when I leave here, I'm really excited to go home and read a book that I really like. I haven't been doing that, like, just before I go to bed. And it's been huge to sort of help still my mind. I know that seems counterproductive. Yeah, because, you know, you're getting all revved up because your imagination is going from these great books. But it really does, like, it's easier to still my mind reading a book than it is to watch a TV show.
That's the numbing.
Yeah.
Like, TV will numb your mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have nothing against TV. I love watching television. But it's a different part of your brain that's engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think we're up to number 7. Okay. What is that, Joss?
Number 7, find a physical activity you enjoy. Swimming, yoga, potato sack races, mall walking, aquarobics, karate, tai chi, gardening, riding horses, throwing rocks into a pond.
Yeah.
There's something for you, just do it. And I would recommend do something that you think you can maintain, sustain.
Yes.
Don't, like, get on a treadmill and say you're going to run 10 miles and then the next day not continue.
Yeah, because you're in agony. Yeah.
And because you know you can't do it. Really, I mean, even if it's something small. And, you know, I'm always trying to lose weight. I know lots of women who are always trying to lose weight. So I always feel guilty if I don't work out hard enough.
Right.
But sometimes what you need to do is just get to maintain it so that you get into the rhythm.
I mean, we've talked about this a lot, like fitness versus weight loss.
Yeah.
I think the routine is
more important.
This is self-care.
Yeah.
This is not a diet and a weight loss program.
No.
And ironically, the less you care about weight loss, the more you're likely to lose
weight. Probably be more successful.
Because you're enjoying taking care of your body that you're grateful for.
Right.
And you're using food to enjoy and nourish, not to punish or reward. But I found, like, for a very long time, it was hard for me to find a physical activity that I enjoyed.
Same.
I hated swimming. I hated running.
Mm-hmm.
I hated aerobics. I liked horseback riding, but I don't have a horse anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when I was a kid. And then I found boxing through researching a book.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed boxing. And then I kind of got too old for boxing. Let's be honest. My knees just weren't
having it. Huh? Okay.
And then I found yoga.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, it took me probably 10 yoga classes with different teachers at different facilities.
Yeah.
I wanted to like yoga.
Yeah.
I believed in yoga. And I hated yoga.
Yeah.
Until I found the right teacher.
So I'm in that space with yoga because, well, I have rheumatoid arthritis, which I've told people before. So it's a lot of the poses are hard for me. And what I found with the different yoga teachers that the yoga classes that I've been to is I'll say to the teacher, well, I can't do that pose because my knee won't do this or whatever. And she's like, well, just stand still. And I don't want that. I want you to give me a modification.
Yeah. Well, you should go see John Zavonik at Body Temple Fitness.
All right.
Shout out to John. He's been my yoga teacher. Now, okay, this guy is not the man I thought I would love learning yoga from.
Mm-hmm.
He's like 15 years, 20 years younger than I am.
Mm-hmm.
He's an army veteran. So you don't think like a, you know, the cliche of like, oh, this guy is going to get like quiet and spiritual and stuff and be able to do all these crazy poses, which he can do. He teaches gentle yoga.
Mm-hmm.
That was for me because I felt very judged in all the other yoga classes.
Yes,
like there's all these ropey stick people
who can stand on their head and all that crap.
Oh, gosh, I wrote a blog about my La Jolla yoga class where like people were turning into eagles and falcons. You know, it was very hard to feel at home there. So keep trying.
Yeah.
Find that thing. And honestly, I put on throw rocks in a pond.
Yeah.
You know, there's something about standing outside and just kind of doing nothing.
Yeah.
Throw the tennis ball to your dog.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be complicated. But as Joss said, it should be something you can sustain.
And that's a routine that you can sustain. So
if it's horseback riding, well, have a stable next door.
Yeah.
You know, don't say like, well, every day I'll drive an hour and a half to go see my horse.
Because you know you're not going to do that.
It's just that's too much.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 8. I made this one up.
You did.
Part of self-care, I believe, is being comfortable. So I put dress in comfy clothes.
Okay.
Master the art of leisure wear.
Yeah.
Which is that magical blend between corporate and slovenly.
Yes. I have perfected it, I think.
You look adorable today.
What I wear, my little Mod Puff new sweater that I got, which I love.
It's a very cute sweater with a fabulous color combination.
Yeah, and some fun linen pajama pants and my Birkenstocks, which I love.
Yeah. And I am wearing stretchy leggings and a long tunic shirt and no bra.
Yes.
That's my thing.
Yes.
No bra. Because if your clothes are too restricting.
Yeah.
You can feel bad about your body,
right.
Or just plain uncomfortable, right. No matter how rockin' a body you might have.
Right.
Or you're too aware of your body.
Right.
Like, oh, this is so low cut.
Right.
You know, or
these
so tight.
Spanx are cutting. I feel like my blood pressure is being taken with these Spanx.
And then the flip side of that is if you're dressed in rags, you're probably not going to feel that good either.
Right.
You know, it's
you stand out more when you're dressed really slovenly like.
Yeah.
Then if you, because I've always said to boyfriends in the past that don't want to iron their shirt.
Yeah.
Don't iron the shirt and people notice that you're wearing an unironed shirt.
Right.
Iron the shirt and people don't see anything.
Right, right.
You know?
And, you know, save the rags for when you really need them, when you're cleaning out your basement or, you know, scrubbing the floors with bleach or something.
Yeah.
Digging that hole in your backyard to bury the bodies of those old boyfriends. But be comfortable.
Yeah.
Be comfortable every day, all day.
Yeah.
Give that to yourself.
Yeah.
And if you're one of those people who, like me, loves slutty shoes.
Yeah.
You know, there's a time and a place for that where
sure.
you will suck up the pain and discomfort. But don't make that every day.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very intrigued by people who have, like, a uniform that they've committed to. Who they always wear, like, a white shirt and black pants.
Oh, I did that on book tour.
Yeah.
I had what they call a capsule wardrobe.
Yep.
Because I was away for 20 days.
Yeah.
In a row.
Yeah.
And I had a carry-on suitcase.
Oh, good for
which
you.
Was magic.
Well done.
Yes.
Yeah.
So everything was black and white.
Yeah.
And everything was comfortable.
Right.
The only flaw in my plan was I did have to iron. And I like ironing, so that wasn't a big problem. But yeah, that uniform of like, I have, you know, five tops and three bottoms,
and
I
done.
Have 1,100 looks.
Yeah.
I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, I love that.
We should post a link to that on our Facebook page.
Sure.
Folks, if you haven't liked our Facebook page, it's Crappy Friends on Facebook. It's not that hard to find us.
Yeah, oh yeah. Okay, so number 9 is be grateful, which we mentioned before. Think it's so nice that I saw Pam from high school. I'm glad we're still in touch, even if we're not as close as we used to be. Or I'm really grateful for Kristen's Kristen's daughter thinks I'm the coolest human. She does think I'm the coolest.
She thinks you're the coolest human on earth. That's one of your daily affirmations. Is the princess thinks
I'm the coolest person
on earth.
In the world. I'm so grateful to have a dog. I am too, and it was sort of by accident that I got my dog.
Yeah.
So I'm really grateful that I have this dog. It's way too easy to think about what we lack than what we have, which is all true.
It's so true.
It's all true.
And, you know, like, one of my friends, Nancy Robarts Thompson, who's a wonderful author and a lovely person, she kept a gratitude journal.
Yeah.
And when I first heard about it, I couldn't help. She's from the South, and I'm from the North, and I was like,
it's kind of hokey, your
gratitude
thing, right?
journal.
But, you know, yeah.
But then I thought, like, that's a really good practice to say, like, oh, I have two healthy kids.
Yeah.
I have two dogs who love me.
Mm-hmm.
I have a husband who loves me. I have a roof over my head
mm-hmm.
that mostly doesn't leak unless it's really icy out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's very easy to say, I'm stressed.
Yeah.
I'm on deadline.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
You know, I've got to drive to Boston to get my son. You know, and
that can take over.
It can get overwhelming. It can be a habit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Nancy's gratitude journal, although it didn't sound like it was for me, was totally for me.
But, I mean, it's got a lot of merit. I mean, I'm not going to say, go ahead and write everything down if you can, because I can never keep that up. I can't keep up journals either. But I can change the way I'm thinking so that instead of thinking of what all is going wrong, I can think of what all that I have that's going right.
Right, right.
So you can do that.
Yep, you have a great job.
Mm-hmm.
You're the only person who can do that job.
At Yale.
At Yale University. you know, you work close to where you live,
mm-hmm.
so you don't have a terrible commute.
Guys, I have 60,000 miles on my 11-year-old car.
And I have 80,000 on my 4-year-old car. So, She's grateful yes. for her car, and I'm grateful for mine. And okay, number 10 on our self-care list is volunteer in some small way.
Mm-hmm.
Because helping other people makes you feel like a hero.
Mm-hmm.
And there is nothing guaranteed to make you feel better about yourself than helping someone else.
It's like the surefire cure for when you have broken up with your boyfriend or your friend has dumped you.
Yeah.
Go volunteer. Yeah. Go give back to someone else. You will forget all your problems by doing that.
It can be really easy. And again, like, the sustainability is mm-hmm. important. You know, are you going to devote 10 hours a week to the soup kitchen?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But can you devote an hour a month?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Sure. Yep.
Can you reach for things on the high shelf for the little old ladies mm-hmm. who can't reach it?
Mm-hmm.
Can you compliment a person on how they look, a person who might not get complimented?
Mm-hmm.
An older person mm-hmm. or, you know, a person who is of a different shape, mm-hmm. perhaps, than what usually gets the attention in our society. Can you bake cookies and share half of them with your neighbor? Or invite the neighborhood kid in for a snack and say, thank you for walking my dog. Mm-hmm. You know, those kind of things. So, we want you to be good friends to yourselves, folks.
Mm-hmm.
This podcast was always about, you know, finding good friends, mm-hmm. being a good friend. And now it's about being a good friend to yourself.
Yeah. Too. All of these steps will make you a better friend to the friends yes. you already have, too.
All right. So that's it for us this week. We will be back next week
mm-hmm.
with another episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to Crappy Friends. Don't forget to subscribe to Crappy Friends and consider leaving us a review. Email us your friend stories at theladies@crappyfriends.net. I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Just A.
And we're best friends. Forever.